Hola, Locamores. Diosa here from Locatora Radio.
Y Mala to talk classic telenovela tropes. More like our bedtime stories growing up, no?
Sí, those dramatic switched at birth dramas or evil stepmoms hiding the fact that you're really the boss storylines still bring the gasps.
Like Fabuloso brings the passion to cleaning with 2x concentrated formula to take the drama out of any mess.
I don't know about you, but when I smell Fabuloso's remarkable lavender scent in my casa, I know it's all going to be happily ever after.
Fabuloso's 2x concentrated formula provides 2x more active ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso Original. Use as directed.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the aftermath episode of the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest. You know him, you love him, Zach Kelberman. Zach, there's a lot to talk about relative to the game and the aftermath and the reactions and all that stuff. But first things first, once again, I think I said it last night. Obviously, I told everybody you're just feeling a little bit under the weather the whole story, but just feeling a little bit under the weather. I told everybody, though, how much we loved seeing them yesterday at the stadium. People coming from all over the world once again to hang out with us, you know, meet, greet, share some drinks, eat some food, share stories, laugh, you know, talk about the future. Where's this thing going? We'll get into that whole thing here in a second. But it was such a blast, and it was, of course, always a wild ride hanging out with Kelberman.
Yeah, man, I was a little under the weather, but, you know, the Broncos game did not help me feel any better, Chad. It was one of the worst offensive showings I've ever seen, but I appreciate everyone that came out to the meet and greet. I want to give a special shout out to Darko for hooking these amazing pendants up. I'm sorry, Darko, I miss you. I didn't see you, but this is unbelievable. I will cherish this forever. And this proves, Chad, once more that we have the best fan base. Broncos country is amazing. Thank you so much, Darko, and thank you for everyone who came out.
So, cool story. Oh, I'm doing it backwards like a moron. Check this out.
Awesome.
So, Darko comes from Mexico, and he has an interesting story. Just real quick, guys. These stories and these experiences are still very fresh in my head. So, we're going to get to the Broncos. But this is the Broncos. If you're not here for this bounce, this is part of our thing. But Darko... So I've known him for, I don't know how many years as a listener and a member of the community, like, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that. But what I met him for the first time yesterday, shows up in Denver, he comes to the meet and greet and we're hanging out. It was great. And he's like, and Zach, again, wasn't feeling so hot. So he got there a little bit later than when it started. He's like, where's Zach? I'm like, he's not feeling so hot. And he's like, oh man, well, when will he be here? So I call Kelberman. He's like, I'm on my way. And you could tell he was really not feeling well. And so I tell Darko, and he's like, oh man, he's super bummed. And Zach, he tells the story about how he found MHH going way back, OG, through watching Zach Kelberman's solo streams on the 24/7 Broncos Facebook page, and how that was his favorite thing. And then all of a sudden it disappeared, and it took him a minute to start searching. And then he found Zach on this Mile High Huddle podcast thing. And then, like, he's just been a fan, of course, still ever since. So it was really cool. He didn't get a chance to see you, but I sent him home with multiple keepsakes of his own. And he's like, hey, I want to give that one to you, one to Zach. This is Mexican silver. And it was just really cool. So thank you, Darko. Once again, it was a pleasure and an honor to meet you, big dog.
Yes, sir. And again, Darko, I'm so sad that I didn't get to see you. Hopefully next year. But again, I will always cherish this pendant. And it's one of the coolest things Chad and I have ever gotten from the community. Thank you again.
Well, once again, so good to see all of you. And if you made the trip, man, you guys are MHH. We just work here. That's the truth. Another amazing, crucial, just awesome member of MHH is this man right here. He's known as the Papa Bear, David McElrath, jumping in. Glad to see you in the chat tonight, brother. It says, good evening, MHH Broncos fans, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Hope you're feeling better, Zach. God bless the USA. Golly, man. That's another hashtag. I even DM'd David last night. I'm like, hey, double down on that, because golly, some bad news. Some crazy stuff happening over the weekend relative to the former Prez once again. And whether, I don't care. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about, it's not good to try and unalive anybody. That's just bad. Hashtag Bowley, Buckham, times nine. MHH for life, Bronx for life, SEAL Team Knicks. Agree 100% with Sambam. Well, let's see what Sambam said. Maybe I got these in the wrong order. So, David, love you, bro. Sambam says, evening, guys. Tough start to the season, but the Broncos started 1-5 last year and finished 8-9. I still believe in Knicks and Peyton, and that the Broncos are headed in the right direction. Go Broncos. So David is echoing that, what Sam's saying here, Zach.
And thank you, Sam. As always, thank you, David. As always, I don't want to crap on your parade, Sam, and ruin your optimism. I still believe in Bo Nix. He's a rookie quarterback. He's only made two starts. I am a little down, admittedly, though, Chad. It's the first time we get to talk about it. Sure. On Sean Payton. The play calling, the play selection, the play sequencing, it's just the buck stops with Sean Payton. You traded a first-round pick for him, $18 million a year. He's regarded as this genius Hall of Fame-level coach, and I have never – I was there at the game with my own eyes, Chad. I have never seen an offense that inept. You and I talk about struggling for yards, struggling for yards. That was so apparent yesterday. They could, two first downs into the fourth quarter. We didn't have confidence they would cross midfield. I know the Steelers' defense is good, Chad, but they shouldn't have been that bad on offense. They could do nothing right, and that starts and ends with Sean Payton.
I know, and that's the thing, and I talked about this last night a little bit with Nick and Eric and Naj. Naj, I hope you made it home safe and sound, big dog. And that is, you know, obviously not good enough. This is no one's trying to make excuses. What's a little bit mystifying is trying to figure out, get an accurate beat on just how not good enough it is when you realize you went against Bo Nix in his NFL debut back-to-back, such phenomenal defenses, A, and phenomenal defenses that really played well against the Broncos and just totally out-executed and out-coached Sean Payton. And I'm going to agree with you, bro. Sean Payton is disappointing me greatly right now, not only in his failure to scheme Bo Nix and his apparently limited offense, okay, into better situations and continue and strive better to have some presence of mind, going with hot hands, taking the cold hands off the field, better understanding what personnel can help the team. I mean, for example, Scott and I and my son Dresden were watching the game together because, you know, for the meet and greet, we all get tickets. We go in and we ended up sitting near each other and we're watching. And like you said, Zach, it was like, man, you couldn't pay for a first down, you know? And then all of a sudden, the Knicks drops back. I think it was second quarter, might have been early third. It was definitely before the flea flicker. All right. Drops back and you see two players coming open over the middle on play action. One of them is Nate Adkins, and that's where the ball goes and he drops it, right? He drops the pass. And I glance over to Scott like this, and before I can even say anything, he's like, you go to that extent to scheme a dude open, and that dude you're scheming open for that critical moment is Nate Adkins, of all people? And so it's that kind of, Zach, lack of presence of mind, lack of tact, lack of understanding that, frankly, is disappointing considering, last thing, Sean Payton's experience and time and wherewithal as an NFL head coach.
How about the repeated targets to Greg Dulcich, even after he proved he couldn't catch? How about the Michael Burton being out there and running pass patterns? How about Marvin Mims only playing 12 snaps, which is less than he played last week, which was already a career low, Chad? But, you know, you want to know the example. I don't know if you saw the video floating around on Twitter where it's Bo Nix receiving a play call from Sean Payton. And it's the most wordy, long play call you've ever seen. To the point that Bo Nix looks back twice at the sideline, almost like, are we over with yet? What's going on here? That's where it starts with Sean Payton. That's where it ends with Sean Payton. Experience aside, coming out of college, he's still a rookie in the NFL, and you have to make it as easy as possible. He is not Drew Brees, and Sean Payton can't treat him like he's Drew Brees.
Yeah, I mean, once again, he looked very skittish early, and I thought something, and then he kind of got a little bit better in the second half, and there was something Sean Payton said about that today that I thought smacked of the truth. We'll get to that here in a moment. First, Troy, who was there at the meet and greet yesterday, awesome seeing you, my friend. Thank you for taking the time and making the trip down to see us. It says, much of the Knicks' hate stems from anointing and overhyping him this summer. Hope we can get back to just being happy with developing a rookie quarterback. It's great to see everyone yesterday. Thank you for all you do. Right back at you, big dog. And I don't know. I think part of that, two, Troy, is just the fact that he's a rookie first round quarterback that was named the starter out of camp. Like in Bronco canon, all right, Bronco history, that's a rare thing. Not that they drafted a quarterback, which, by the way, relative to how often many NFL teams draft quarterbacks in the first round, that happens to be a relatively rare thing for the Broncos as well. Five in the last 50 years. And for one of those guys to become the second dude to win the starting job out of camp and start day one since John Elway, 83, plus all the other just positive signs on Bo Nix preceding the season starting, I don't blame anybody for feeling optimistic and even confident in Bo Nix, Sean Payton, let's go. That's why, Zach, all the more, I don't say shame on you. I don't say shame on me. I don't say shame on anybody for having that expectation. It's shame on Sean Payton. It's shame on Bo Nix and everybody else for not meeting the expectation. Did any of us expect it to be, as you said, you know, Drew Brees-esque out of the gates? Of course not. We knew there was going to be the rookie learning curve, that trial and error, the bumps in the road. That is matter of course. But I think we may have slept on a little bit, Zach, two things. I'll speak for myself. I may have slept on how stiff those defenses were going to be to open things up this year. And not only that, I was kind of dismissive in a pride sense of all the offseason listings and hate for the Broncos skill positions, right? Worst in the league, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I should have had my eyes a little bit more open because they looked slow. That's another thing. I would turn to Scott and be like, dude, Javonte looks, does he look slow? Cortland Sutton looks slow. When Lil Jordan Humphrey and Josh Reynolds are the only guys giving you anything in the air, and they're not exactly speed demons, Zach, now you're seeing that playmaking juice definitely is a problem.
That's what I said last week. It was evident the Broncos don't have enough playmakers on either side of the ball. The defense wasn't really an issue, even though it's not, you know, hard stopping Fields and the Steelers offense. But when you go back to the Broncos offense, and Troy's right, there was some overhyping, there was some anointing, but I don't think we did it that much on this podcast, Chad. We were hopeful, we were happy with the preseason, but we both stopped Broncos country and said, don't expect a Super Bowl out of the gates. Don't even, you know, expect a playoff berth. If he can perform ahead of expectations and ahead of his development, that's a major win. But the season is all about Bo Nix. What I slept on was how, I don't know, archaic Sean Payton's offense and play calling is. It doesn't seem like it's a 2024 offense. You watch even Minnesota, you watch Houston, you watch these teams around the league, and they are just opening up the entire playbook using every inch of the field. Why isn't Sean Payton doing that?
Well said, guys. Lots more to get to. First, though, we've got some matters of business to attend to. And first things first on that front, I'm dropping a link so that you guys can jump on this ASAP. You're going to want to, okay? But listen, with big wireless providers, what you see, you know this, it's very rarely what you get. Somewhere between the store and that friendly salesperson and your first month's bill, the price that you were told you're going to be paying magically skyrockets. They're not lining up. But with Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says it's $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. So say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
That's right. Much love and respect. Thank you, Mint Mobile. Lifesaver for me, I got to tell you. Absolute lifesaver. All right, back to the chat. This was a man whose company we most certainly missed this weekend. Chris Hernandez, a Mount Rushmore member of our community. I mean, look, this cat, Zach and I, we're kind of big on nostalgia. We're guys that like to, you know, we want to keep the good old days a rolling, and sometimes they don't. In fact, that's why they're the good old days, right? We understand how time works, even though it is a flat circle. Wrap your brain around that. But we, dude, this profile pic, Zach, still gets me, dude. OG. Like, this would be in, I'm going to talk Chris and Chad language now. This is like you're going to the grocery store and you pass by a dude that's got four flags tattooed, staggered like this on his arm, and you go, black flag. He goes, yeah, black flag. You're like, we're brothers already. We don't even know each other. But in this case, we know each other. We love Chris Hernandez and his post-game supers. Zach, always symbolic.
Yep.
And it's directly relative to how the Broncos scored. So thank you, Chris. And Broncos, let's score some points now. He says, I wanted to drop in since I missed Sunday's show. Unfortunately, everyone who attended the meet and greet didn't get the best showing, Zach, from the Broncos.
No, they didn't, Chris. And I want to echo what Chad said. That picture is probably, you know, judging by it, at least 4 years old now. So it's, Chad's definitely right. You go way back, and we appreciate all you've done each and every podcast. And I can't say I disagree with you. I wanted everyone in attendance yesterday to see a little more of a competitive, exciting game. But that's what happens, Chad, when you put two of the worst offenses in the NFL on the field together.
By the way, hope your son's band is killing it. Keep me updated on how that goes, my friend. I'm very, very interested and intrigued, and I hope they kill it. Riptide, good to see you, bro. Says two tough road games coming up. Not looking good. Yeah. So next up on the docket, guys, for your Denver Broncos this week is a trip to Tampa Bay, take on the Bucs. And then week four for the Broncos is another revenge game, which Sean Payton so far is 0-for in all of his revenge games against the Jets. So, yeah, it's going to be what he said today, Zach, on that subject is we're going to know a lot more about who this team is, what this team is after these next two games. Now, you know, that was said kind of in response to a question about, hey, how much are you talking about and using as a source of encouragement, confidence, your team's very slow start last year, and then how you guys turned it on, became relevant down the stretch, and actually had a shot at the postseason. And that's kind of where that angle for Sean Payton came from.
Yeah, I mean, this is the final quartet to open the season. Tough defenses. We talked about this when the schedule came out. But after two games, I know the Bucs are good on D. I know the Jets are good on D. It doesn't really matter who they play, Chad. If you can't block, you can't catch, you can't run, you can't do anything right, you can play a peewee football defense, and you'd still find a way to bumble it. So they have to really find an identity, Riptide, whether it's a run first team, whether they want Bo Nix to pass the ball 30, 35, 40 times a game. They have no identity out there, and it's not going to change unless they, Sean Payton kind of has a come to Jesus moment with himself, Chad.
The Ronk checking in. What's up, Mike? Wish we could have seen you at the meet and greet. We know someday we will get a chance to shake your hand. He says, good evening, throwing down some stars. And, I meant to, so Thursday night, right? I was having these like lag problems with the internet. And then I meant to reset the router because there's nothing wrong with my internet. I have killer internet. It's not my computer. Nothing changed on my computer. So I thought to myself when I got off the last stream, I was like, I need to reset the router. And then amidst the hubbub of the organizing, executing, planning, attending thereof, and aftermath of the meet and greet, I forgot. So, guys, if I'm lagging, I'm sorry. It'll be fixed by the next show, so don't trip on that. But, Ronk, love you, big dog. Cody Dub jumping in. What's up, bro? He says, is it Sean's coaching sucks now or the lack of elite players on offense and still paying Russell Wilson when that money could bring it in at least two weapons? I mean, yes, that's my answer to you. Does, from a macro scale, Zach, Sean Payton suck? I would say no. Is he sucking right now? Yes. What? Why he's so seemingly behind the eight ball on putting his guys in position to succeed, I don't know. But I just wouldn't have bet, Zach. I'm telling you, I never would have guessed that after watching offenses as designed by the Scangarellos and the Shermers and the everybody that came before and after those two guys. Where everything, it was like dearly bought. You get a yard, that's, you're just feeling like, man, how come we watch teams like, I mean, the Chiefs, or right now this one's kind of tough so far with Eagles, Falcons, but like completing a pass for 8 yards and, you know, picking up an extra three or four after they catch, like that's the league, dude. Why has it been so tough? And I never would have guessed, Zach, to be frank with you, that it would have been this difficult for Sean Payton to implement his offensive vision. He's missing something. And part of it is, yes, the quarterback is young and you got $80 million that you can't spend on players that all your opponents were able to do. That comes out in the wash at some point.
I don't think Sean's coaching sucks, but when you it's third and eight and you throw a 3-yard pass, I mean, the common denominator here is Sean Payton. Because Chad and the Russell Wilson, or last year with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, did they ever just score 6 points? Did they ever look that inept on offense? Again, I understand the rookie quarterback. The lack of playmakers is a thing. But let's say you had the money. Would Sean Payton go out and find some young hotshot elite player, or would he go for a Michael Thomas, a former Saints castoff that he's familiar with? That's my problem with him, is that he's too egotistical, he's too prideful, and he plays his guys first above everybody else. He has loyalty to his guys, like Lil Jordan Humphrey. You let Tim Patrick and Brandon Johnson, Jalen Virgil walk so you can keep Lil Jordan Humphrey, and yet he is still, like you said, Chad, your most explosive receiver on at least in yesterday's game. So I don't think Sean's coaching sucks. I do think he's a tad overrated and he hasn't adjusted to the modern NFL. Chad, I watch offenses that have, you know, comparable or even worse talent, worse quarterbacking, worse coaching, and they can move the ball. They can get first downs. They can complete big plays. Why can't the Broncos do it?
You know, Cody, love you again. Appreciate you, big dog. You brought up the running back thing. All right, you see Tyler Beatty, who they dressed yesterday, come in, rocking his new number, 28, and bust off one of the only actually productive rushing plays that the Broncos had. And guess how many carries he finished with? One for 16 yards. So Sean Payton, that's literally the first question he was asked today in the conference call. All right. His answer, fair question. And he was a lot more last night. He was pissy. You know how Sean Payton is post game, whether he's winning or losing post game, he's pissy because he's still got his blood up. Then he sleeps on it. He's watched the film by the time he holds the press conference. And there was one moment where he was a little short today, but for the most part, you know, he had the tonality of a more patient person. Let's just put it that way. And a little bit more forthright. But coach, hey, first question today, what's up with Beatty only getting one touch when he picked up 16 yards on that carry? Meanwhile, Pookie averages 1.5 yards per tote. Answer, fair question. Quote, fair question. When we had the additional spot, obviously with Audric Estime down, then it's about trying to find touches for the third back. It's much easier with the rotation of two. Getting the third back involved, sometimes at special teams, sometimes in the pass game, and it was a good run by him, of course, Beatty. It's something where you take notice of it, though. It's something as a play caller, as someone who's looking at the game, I've got to be able to see that. He's a player, though, who had his name on a lot of different plays that either were red zone or situational plays that we weren't able to get to. It's not intentional. It's not like, hey, we're not aware. You're just into the flow of the game, and you have to replace you here. And I have to be better that way. Close quote, Zach. There's your answer.
I hate this answer because he said it last week. Literally, I have to be better. And how was he better? So you saw, Sean, you saw the offense could not do anything, could not gain a yard. And yet you're still sticking to the script that you have Beatty for certain plays and certain packages. How about reducing the verbiage of the play calls? How about the personnel formations? How about some pre-snap motion? How about a 2024 modern offense? And I saw a comment that said Zach's turning on Sean Payton. I'm not turning on Sean Payton. I'm just a little frustrated and impatient with the lack of offense, with the same old story every year, Chad. We go into a new season, new year with different hopes, different expectations, and it ends up the same, if not worse. And I, for one, am just tired of witnessing that. I'm sure Broncos country can agree.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, quick segue. We're going to come back to the chat. Real quick, though, here, we got to say hello to one of our longtime friends. And that's Manscaped. Because, guys, it is the best time of the year. Things haven't gone our way yet for the Broncos. But football is back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, the glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. And this is where your inner GM comes alive, setting the perfect fantasy roster, screaming at your TV, making last-minute waiver moves that either make you the hero or the guy everybody ridicules in the group chat. But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, making sure you know which Broncos are going to be viable, are there going to be any viable fantasy Broncos in week 3? Don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench, because we got to be honest. Nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. That is where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook, from keeping things sharp down south with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose hairs, the ears hairs, which has become a thing for me, alas, here in my 45th year, with the Weed Whacker 2.0. This is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field. So join the over 10 million worldwide who trusted Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use our code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season. Go to manscaped.com. Use our code HUDDLE and take advantage of that. Zach, I just realized I kind of did a little something. We'll fix that later, but Manscaped, love it. Manscaped.com/huddle. All right, back to the chat. Guys, we got something to talk about, though. Mike McGlinchey, Zach, you had the story for us. What is going on with the Broncos' right tackle? You come out of week one not knowing if your left tackle is going to be available, and then McGlinchey?
This is an aside really quickly. Boy, was Garrett Bowles bad yesterday. My God. But yeah, Mike McGlinchey, he was rolled up on in the fourth quarter. He suffered an MCL sprain in his knee. He'll be out now about a month. I'm not sure if he'll be going on IR, but he'll be set to miss the next four or so games, which means Al Pell is going to end up starting at right tackle.
Al Pell. But it is Palcheski, according to the Broncos. Fight me. Yeah, it's such a bummer. Such a bummer. You know, we saw the Broncos, Zach, go to Greg Dulcich with no success. Yeah, I know about this Instagram. I just signed off the Instagram chat, so hold on one second. I got to remove it from the stream. Yeah. Because I'm trying to minimize the tabs. I hate freezing up. I don't know what's going on. We saw Greg Dulcich dropping balls left and right. We saw Nate Adkins failing to haul in what could have been a critical third down catch. And yet Matt Parrott. Checking in how many times, Scott? Five, as a eligible receiver. And at some point I'm going, that's your tight end too, right there. Matt Parrott is your tight end too. When's the ball going to him? I mean, none of these other cats can catch. Let's try the 300-pound tackle / tight end, Zach.
This is the problem when your tight end group consists of Adam Trautman, a blocker, a career blocker, Greg Dulcich, who's a complete unknown and had butterfingers yesterday, and then Lucas Kroll, who you don't even really get on the field or throw passes to, even though, Chad, he's probably your best receiving tight end. So again, if I can knock Hackett and knock the previous Broncos coaches, I'm going to knock Sean Payton for the same thing. Fix your issues. They're basic.
Victor, bro, thank you for the super, and you're 100% right. He says, Priest, we really need to figure out this run game. It is DEFCON. I always forget. Is DEFCON 1 the highest or 5? Is it the lower number or the highest? I don't know. It's Uber DEFCON, all right, situation, the run game. And that's whether you had a rookie quarterback or if you were gifted Peyton Manning. This running game, Zach, is absolutely atrocious. We can get into some of the stats, but as I mentioned, your primary back averaged 1.5 yards per tote. And he was in the double digits. I mean, they stayed with him. And that's another thing where it's like, okay, and Sean Payton talked about this today, echoing what both Nick and Eric were saying on last night's live stream post-game on the Gut Reaction. Pookie, not only, as Scott and I observed, looking slow out there in person, okay, but he's missing the cutback lanes. Sean Payton talked about this today. I'm going to paraphrase it real quick. He's like, hey, there's a little bit of everything happening relative to why our run game isn't working, from me not doing a good enough job play calling to we're not blocking it up well enough to the backs. And on the this was on the subject of being directly asked about Pookie. He's like, look, you know, all those things, it's making it not easy for everybody. And then on the actual ball carrier side, you know, there was a few plays on film where, yeah, the vision thing, you know, like, so we got to do a better job as coaches to make sure he understands what his keys are pre-snap. So like usually a running back, when they get the handoff, there's their coach, there's one defender who they're keying off of, kind of like in an RPO, where if the defensive end or the edge tries to attack inside and crash inside on the handoff, you pull it back in the quarterback and you run it. That's who you're keying off of. Now, if he comes at you, then you give the ball. So these running backs on every handoff, guys, they are trained and coached to visualize and pay attention to that key. And he's like, I don't know if he's missing the key, but he's missing the cutback lane, Zach, is the bottom line. He even used an example of a play that was like a 3-yard rush, 3-yard gain, should have been at least a 7-yarder, but he missed the cutback lane. Little things like that, they add up. And guess what? Against great defenses, well-coached teams like these two that we face so far, they don't let you live to fight another day if you miss those opportunities. The margin is zilch.
You can't teach vision, though, Chad. Like, you can't teach speed. Either Javonte has it or he doesn't. And it might be time to give up on the Javonte Williams, you know, post-ACL experiment. Maybe he's not this, you know, RB1 like we're considering. But it's still up to Sean Payton to put the best running backs on the field. It's also up to the offensive line, Chad. Can we talk about that for 1 second? 3 highly paid guys there, and you can't even push an inch on the line of scrimmage. It's the same thing from last week. So I think more up front than anything else, that's where the problem starts, the trenches.
Yes. That just reminded me of something. Before I grab this one, I'll come back to it. Steve Griffith, great to see you, big dog. A longtime Super Chat superstar. Haven't seen him in the chat for a minute, so welcome back, big dog. We've missed you. Hope you've been well. Appreciate the super chat, and I hope you know that, brother. Great to see you. Cody Dub, Mims takes the top off and was overthrown. Beatty, 16-yard run. Reynolds' catch was a huge catch, and Sean just leaves what's working. Open your eyes, Coach Sean. Yeah, that's a big thing, man. That's a big thing is the coaches are not answering the bell. Defensively, the only bone, in my opinion, you could really pick with Vance Joseph is that rushing defense is still a little leaky. Is it the worst thing I've ever seen? No. Is it Miami week, whatever that was, 2 or 3, week 3 last year? No. It's not that, but it's not good enough. And offensively, let's face it, guys, it's the offense that is killing this team's chances at competing. And these are 2 close games, low scoring but close. Steve says, finally caught you guys live, been a minute. Bro, it has. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for coming back. Great to see you. So I don't know, Zach. Like, we're in one of those egg, chicken or the egg situations. And I mean, honestly, as you said, that was a great way to put it at the top of the show. The buck stops with Payton.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about the years past and the failures, the Hacketts and everything. First time coaches the Broncos had. Well, Cody's comment would apply to a first time coach. So we have those same criticisms of Nathaniel Hackett, but we cut him a little slack because he was a newbie coach. What is Sean Payton's excuse? He's been in the NFL forever. He has a Super Bowl ring. He's one of the highly paid coaches in the NFL, I think number 2 or maybe number 1 now. He has this aura and this reputation, and yet we're making these comments going away from what's working. You can't do this. You can't do that. Again, it starts and ends with the head coach.
Riptide's thinking maybe it's the center sitch could be a big part of this, and that's what it was that I lost my train of thought on grabbing Steve's super, and that is how when Sean Payton says, look, first of all, Riptide says the Luke Wattenberg experiment needs to be over, and I think it's fair to question whether that is something that should continue. And I will say, in fact, let me see if I can find it real quick. I'll start paraphrasing it, and if I can't find it, when talking about kind of Bo Nix's flow and whatnot, I'll find the specifics later. Actually, I'll just go ahead and paraphrase it. So Coach Payton said, look, when he was asked about how Bo performed and his poise and whatnot, confidence, big issue, question and concern with the local press today, of course, is, hey, are you managing Bo Nix's confidence? Is he still confident? Because the last thing you want is for a young guy like him to go into a shell. And he's like, no, don't worry about that. He's a confident guy. That's cool. But my take after watching the film, I'm paraphrasing Sean Payton, was that he was a little bit off in the first half because it was consistent interior pressure, Zach, when he would drop back. Protection-wise, you got to the second half, and we protected much better, but he had kind of been influenced by the first half, so he was maybe a little too jumpy, a little too eager to either kind of move, bail the pocket, or just not stepping into his throws because he was then, you know, they had gotten to his head basically because of the first half, all that interior pressure. How much of that is the center's at?
Well, there's also a few times they ran the play clock down, like, you know, 2022 level PTSD, Chad, and I think they even blew a timeout. so they didn't get an infraction from that. So maybe there's something to the Wattenberg-Bo Nix connection, but I'm going to cut Wattenberg a little slack for the same reason I talked about with Peyton, is that Wattenberg's a first-time starter. I mean, he should have his ups and downs, but how about Ben Powers, who couldn't even pull correctly yesterday? How about Garrett Bowles, who has the highest salary cap charge on the team, was terrible? I don't care if you're facing TJ Watt or not. It's the bad Garrett Bowles coming out.
But Bowles never faced him, for what it's worth. You know, he was getting smoked by that other guy whose name escapes me off the top of my head. He was atrocious, Bowles.
And McGlinchey, I mean, so another $54 million, whatever he is, right tackle. So I'm going to lean on my studs on the offensive line, or what should be the studs, and they were failures yesterday, Chad, at the highest levels. DEFCON 1.
Here's another thing. I'm glad you brought this up. We talk about studs not answering the bell. What about Pat Surtain? He's penalized. From a coverage perspective, week one, he was Pat Surtain. So, and that's what you're paying him for. He shut down DK Metcalf, relatively speaking. Okay, great. But these little things keep leaking out. You know, little stupid things that are just, he doesn't have it together. Last week, you guys know my complaint about him pulling up on a play that didn't even count. So it was more of a symbolic thing. But then yesterday, Zach, you know, he gets that. Why is he on punt coverage, by the
way? Right, exactly.
Why is he on punt coverage? Your two best cornerbacks are on punt coverage. That includes Jaquan McMillan. Come on, dude. But anyway, he gets that flag there. Then he got, if memory serves, two more penalties, both on both on defense and coverage, where he's really costing his team. And look, Scott, he was big on this going into yesterday's game. Basically, all you got to do if you're the Broncos from a passing offense or passing defense perspective is shut down Pickens and you're good to go. I mean, Freiermuth had himself a few passes, and you know, that there was that one touchdown where the Washington did push off on PJ Locke. I'm sorry. If that's Cortland Sutton pushing off, flag. He would have gotten flagged, but that's neither here nor there. Pat Surtain did what you hope in terms of, you know, it was a disjointed Steelers passing offense, but it was way smoother than what the Broncos had. Pickens, 2 receptions on 4 targets, 29 yards. He was a relative non-factor, and yet Surtain had a piss poor game. I'm sorry. It was bad.
To be fair, Chad, before we get to RD really quickly, I thought the refereeing was terrible. I thought they threw way too many flags, and I thought they were not against Denver, but certainly calls I wouldn't make. But this should answer the question, because you're right about PS2. This should answer the question, the age-old question, what's more important, a premier cornerback or a premier edge rusher? I still want that dominant guy in the front 7.
It is an age-old question, and I think if we're talking about priorities and how it comes out in the wash, maybe you need Von Miller before you get Aqib Talib. Maybe you actually do need Von before Chris Harris Jr. The Broncos were lucky enough to get both of them the same year, you know, so every once in a while, the stars align and a blind squirrel will still find that nut every once in a blue moon. But RD, thank you, bro, for patience and throwing down a super. He says, last year, we had a quarterback with 3,070 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks in 15 games. We are intentionally a worse team than our bad team last year. We are playing younger players. Hopefully, they improve. We are intentionally a worse team. If by that you mean we intentionally cut a lot of our better veterans, yes. You know, this is one of those situations, Zach, I got to tell you, where when Sean Payton, you know, it's like a butterfly flaps his wings and a tsunami happens in Japan or something. In this case, Sean Payton made the decision to release Russell Wilson, and they had to then make a bunch of decisions that no one really loved, but you understood after they made the first one. You know, it was the domino effect. Justin Simmons, the leadership, the presence there, who knows how much he could be helping this situation, Josie Jewell. This might have been the year you could have actually put Jerry Jeudy to use in his ability to separate and the speed in the short area, and he's gone. So, but that's why the Broncos, honestly, guys, they telegraphed to you in the spring rebuild to develop the quarterback year. None of us, including me, want to just accept that. So we're not going to. We're going to say, no, we demand that you compete and field a plausibly competitive team. And as disjointed and bad as it's been at times so far, Zach, they've been competitive. No one's getting blown out so far. All right, knock on wood. So they're 80 million. Think about it like this, Zach. If you were a competitor, I mean, I don't know, pick a business, a brick and mortar business, or just like you know, you're a contractor and you do stone masonry. And that can become seriously like an art, right? These are like some of them artisans. And your competitor has $80 million or whatever the percentages of the salary cap. I don't know off the top of my head, but Zach, to spend on more on those artisans, who's that guy's product's probably going to be better than you. If all the best guys and the money falls over there, you have to dig deep and find undiscovered guys and dudes who are on the rise and this and that and get lucky along the way to have a shot at that. And that's what the Broncos are doing because they're rebuilding. They have to shed that cap. They had to move on from Russ. It's an albatross. An albatross, it's going down like this for a minute, Zach. And then when that thing falls off its neck, it'll rise back up just like the spruce goose.
Yeah, I don't think it's intentionally that they're a worse team, that they're tanking or whatever. And they're going with the right route of playing the younger players and finding out who. I just think with better coaching, Chad, they'd be 1-1 right now. They probably would have won in week one. That game was gifted to them. And Sean Payton, I think, is the reason they're sitting at 0-2. Now, we got Jetty Splash, though, $5 super. Thank you so much, Jetty. I agree with Zach. It's like having bad deja vu of a bad headache from last year. And it's like you keep popping Advil, and it doesn't even touch it anymore. That's how bad the headache is. I went in there with not a lot of expectation to the stadium. We had a great meet and greet. You know, everyone was pretty jovial going into the game. I did not expect to see that level of football, that bad of football that took me back to 2022 and even worse. It's some of the worst offensive display you'll ever see.
Jetty Splash, love you, big dog. Thank you. Diamond Rattler, I know, bro. I know. Keep your chin up. Says, come hit the East Coast with Bridge the Gap, bro. Perhaps in the not too distant, my friend. We shall see. Diamond saying again with a third super. Something on PS2 on playing, seeing PS2 on special teams peed me off. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Scott, what was the comment you made to me when I turned to you and said that? Maybe he already put it in the chat. I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, exactly. So on a punt return, having them out there, that's right. Punt return, not punt coverage. It would at least make sense if they were gunners chasing the ball down, right? Having Sertan and McMillan out there. But they're out there blocking. Why? They don't know what they're doing, dude. That's not their job. That's not their forte. And it's not that easy, guys. So like, these are things you got to practice and work on, and technique and understanding and presence of mind and knowing the situation and all these things that factor into being an expert at what you do. That's Pat Surtain when he's got a wide receiver lined up across from him. That's not Pat Surtain when a punter goes boom and you're okay, I got to block and the angles and the rules and how refs kind of like to call things. And this, it's just a bad recipe, dude. I don't get it.
It's also tiring him out unnecessarily. I mean, leave your best defensive player with as much energy as possible. But what bothers me the most is Sean Payton intentionally kept players on the 53 due to primarily special teams performance. Justin Sternott, I'm looking at you. And yet, apparently, you're lacking on special teams to the extent that you're using PS2 there. Head scratcher, for sure.
Yes, indeed. Okay, I want to see if there's anything.
Tremont Smith, too. Good shout, Scott.
Yeah. Hang tight. I'm just kind of doing a perusal here, guys. Yeah, by the way, you guys got to hang out with Dylan again. We got to see Jeremy Sean. It's cool to chop it up with you, big dog. We'll be talking soon. Hold on, guys. I'm just taking a quick peek because we're kind of approaching the 2-minute warning. So we'll call this your this is that last call for any burning questions or supers. James on Facebook, if they can get some offensive plays, we'd be good with how the defense is playing. I agree, Zach. Like, that's why yesterday, and forgive me, I don't remember who it was that super chatted this, but was like, VJ's on notice, dude. He's on the hot seat. I'm like, no, he's not, dude. I'm sorry. Like, it's easy to – he's like, you know, he's easy to beat on, VJ, right? He's an easy target, I guess is what I'm getting at. He's been a whipping boy. This ain't on him, guys. This is not on him. This is on Sean Payton, period. offensive guru, show me. You know, genius play caller, show me. And that's what I was explaining. You know, I brought my wife and my kids, and they were having a blast at the meet and greet, meeting everybody. And they don't get down to the stadium too often, and then going in and all that stuff and actually watching the game and whatnot. And I was trying to explain to them, Zach, fan apathy and why my son turns to me, why is there 1,000 no-shows in the game yesterday, right? Because they always show you that when you're live. And today there's 74,000 X number, da-da-da. That means 1,000 Broncos fans were no-shows, and then the stadium boos, and it's kind of fun. But it's still a sellout because those are all sold tickets. But I digress here. And he goes, why wouldn't they come? You know, kind of being naive, slightly young. And I had to explain to him that fans are tired of being promised the good times are ahead and given hope and fed hope, and they're not delivered. Bottom line is they're a vast swath of Broncos country. Probably not those who are in this chat, but a vast swath. And maybe many of you who are in the chat, what I'm about to say, you're going to go, yeah, that's kind of me. They're like, look, I'm out until you show me. Show me. Do something. You know, we'll see.
I don't blame any fan for being apathetic. If I wasn't covering this team and I was just a fan, I would have checked out a long time ago. But would bother me more. Listen, if you don't want to go to the game, fine, but don't sell your tickets to the opposing fan base. I saw way more terrible towels there yesterday, Chad, and Steelers fans than I ever anticipated. So I get it, but let's be smart about it too.
What would you say, more terrible towels or more Packers last year? Because Packers travel well too.
I say Steeler. It was at least a third Steelers in there, man.
Visually, I didn't notice a big difference, but here's where I did notice the difference. They were loud, dude. Steeler. Yep. Those Steelers fans were loud.
Like home game for them at certain points.
It was like shameful. It was shameful, to be frank. Antoine, thoughts on us getting Reddick or the O-lineman David Bakhtiari?
Nah. I mean, I'll go first, Chad. I mean, Hassan Reddick, I assume you're talking about. You don't want to trade for a guy that got traded to a team that never played it down. He wants a big contract. I say this a lot with these potential moves. If the Broncos were a Reddick away or a Bakhtiari away, I'd say go for it. Surrender whatever capital, give them whatever contract. But you're not. You're multiple pieces away, and getting either of them wouldn't move the needle, especially when, Chad, the biggest issue is the head coaching.
Yeah. It's fair. Hey, Sean has Scott has an explanation, Zach, for the no-shows, the thousands plus, just over 1,000. It's maybe the Empower Field at Mile High $80 parking charge to park your vehicle, and you're still walking a goodly distance. That could have a little something to do with it. Hey, Ronk, love you, big dog. Appreciate you. He says, great show tonight, Chad and Zach, on the MHH podcast aftermath. Go Broncos. And guys, look, it's bad. It's not good. The probabilities show it's going to be one of them years, right? Pardon my poor grammar. Going to be one of them years. But it also is early. I'm not ready to go throwing the baby out with the bathwater quite yet. But I'll agree with Coach Payton, Zach, when he said today that these next two games are going to reveal exactly who we are. It's going to tell us basically where this team is going. I don't think this season can become anything if you don't at least win one of them. You got to win one of them. And then you maybe still have a chance to make something of it. But what do you – I know it's Monday. People are still kind of living in the misery of the Steelers game. But what's your outlook, just real quick, on Tampa?
Words talk and numbers scream, Chad. And the numbers indicate they're 0-2 right now with not much hope. Tampa Bay is a formidable opponent. They have a good defense. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Rashad White, who's a little dinged up. They have a good offense. It's a away game, 1 o'clock, Florida. Traditionally, the Broncos don't play well in that situation, but I don't really care about what Sean Payton has to say leading up to this game all throughout this week. Show me Sunday, like you said. Go out there and prove it. Get a running game. Get your receivers going. Get Bo Nix. One of those things. One. And then we'll have a conversation.
Well said. Patriot Tex, good to see you, bro. Thank you. He says, Sean Payton's seat heating up? It should be. Honestly, bro, no, I don't think it is. Like, I think that these Walton Penners meant what they said when they gave him the keys to the kingdom. It's like, you know, Scott talks a lot about this, and Broncos fans can relate in more ways than one, but thinking back to the last days of the Mike Shanahan regime, you've got Sean Payton, the head coach, and Sean Payton, the GM. And when the twain meet, it so far hasn't been that great. Now, I would like to think that George Payton actually is a good compliment for Sean Payton, because his primary focus is coaching him up and all the demands that apply to that. George Payton, I think, is a very good GM still. A lot of people were trashing him in the chat last night, Zach, just out of frustration. But for what it's worth, they gave him, did the Walton Penner, Zach, full control, basically, last say. Yep. They gave him the assurance that if he tried it with Russ and it didn't pan out to his liking, he could make the painful decision to waste $250 million. And so you can't greenlight that, Zach, as an organization, and then fire him. It would have to be basically a few of those Miami games last year to come after what we've already seen. And I just don't see that. You're never going to see that bad of a thing happening on the reg with the Sean Payton team. He's just got to figure out this offense. He's got to find a way to compensate for some of the foibles. And so far, you know, small sample size, to quote our resident epidemiologist, Nick Kendall, it's a small sample size, so we can't get too out over our skis yet. But what we've seen so far, obviously, Zach, not encouraging.
He has a lot of job security. I mean, he was on scholarship last season. It was his honeymoon. And then this season, he took a rookie quarterback. So he'll get time to develop that quarterback and ride it out. Chad, they can go 1-16 this season. I think 100% Sean Payton would return in 2025. Now, after that, we don't know. But he'll have two scapegoats that he can axe before he gets touched. That would be Vance Joseph as DC and then George Payton as GM. And then the spotlight and the seat would be heating up for Sean Payton.
We got Phil McLaughlin jumping in. Good to see you, brother. Thank you. He says, good evening, Chad, Zach, and Deacon Scott. Running late. We'll catch the show later. Have a great evening. Buckle MHH for life, Broncos for life. Good to see you tonight, bro. George Fox, sorry that your meet and greet didn't pull off the win. I know, dude. Bummer. The MHH juju was finally snapped. We're still 3-1, though. I'll take that. But we don't look like we have much of a team this year. If we could get better play calling, we might have a chance. We've been here before, so let's see how it goes. Broncos for life, MHH for life. Hit the thumbs up, guys. Well said. Thank you, buddy. And then we also have here to kind of close this out, because we gotta get going. Cody Dub, are we watching Waterboy? Sean's playbook was stolen, Zach.
It's Waterboy was more entertaining. You'd see more offense by watching the Waterboy than you would the Broncos in week two yesterday. I'm not even joking. I mean, I've been hard on them, Chad, and I have impatience just like you do, frustration just like every other Broncos fan out there, but yesterday was three steps in the wrong direction, in my opinion.
Patrick, we love you too, big dog. He says, love MHH even while losing. Still the best. You're the best. We keep coming back to this because of you guys, and as long as you keep showing up, we're going to keep showing up. And look, I have a blast doing this. Like, it never, ever feels like work to me, which is how I know that I'm a very blessed human being. But it's thanks to people like you, Patrick. And by the way, you got a little something to be watching for in the mail. I know you're out in paradise, so it'll maybe take a little bit longer to get to you, but it's on the way. Keep that in mind. Much love and respect, bro. And then we got also Patriot Tex. He's getting out coached, and it looks really bad. Yeah, it does look bad. But the big thing to me right now, guys, is what's up with Bo Nix? You got Forbes saying they ought to bench Bo Nix and whatnot. I'm going to write about that tonight, in fact. But my biggest thing here, Zach, is his confidence. I watched him a lot when he would come in and off the field yesterday. And when he threw that pick in the end zone where we all just went, oh, you know, we did the Homer Simpson. Duh!
Yeah.
I watched him, and he kept his head up. He walked off, and instead of going to the bench to sit down with Davis Webb and start going over cut-ups, he self-isolated for about 2 minutes of real time. So he kind of just all the offensive guys went to their spots, and he just kind of stayed close to the sideline, standing, hands on his hips. Not this. Hands on his hips a little bit, kind of pacing side to side a little bit with his head up like this. You could see him every once in a while. He'd go like this. Like this. He'd kind of pace around a little. And then after a second, one or two Broncos came up to him and encouraged him, you know, hey, It's all good. We'll live to fight another day. Then he walked back and sat down, went over cut-ups with Davis Webb. Sean Payton is not worried about his confidence. And for now, I'm not going to be. But, coach, you got to help him, dude.
That's what I was going to say, exactly. I'm not worried about Bo Nix, and you guys could think it's a hot take or I'm being a homer. I am worried about Sean Payton. That is my concern, because Bo Nix is not getting any help from his running game, offensive line, receivers, and most importantly, his head coach and play caller.
Dude, amongst the hubbub of this weekend, I haven't spent much time paying attention to the other games. Let's see how Caleb Williams did specifically. So 13 points, 23 of 30. So similar, dude. 23 of 37, 174 yards, two picks in his second start. That's on the heels, Zach, of his first start where he didn't even get to 100 yards passing. He got to 93. So both of his quarterback ratings have been in the 50s, similar to Bo Nix. Not going so good. But it goes to show you guys, rookies take a little bit of time. I mean, even Peyton Manning set the – does he still co-own the interception, rookie interception record? I'm pretty sure he does. But nevertheless – what, you think – did someone break it? Did Jameis break it? Why am I thinking that? No. Now I got to search it. I'm going to feel like a moron. Hold on. Good thing I can type fast. Yeah, it's still Peyton Manning, 28. Anyway, it's going to take time, guys, and we just don't want to hear that because it's already been 8 years, Zach.
And Caleb Williams also was 0 for 7 on downfield passes, I think, of 20 or more yards. Touchdown passes across the league are down. Offense across the league is down. It's a defensive era. It kind of goes back and forth every year, offense versus defense. Well, this is the defensive year, but you have to have the offensive firepower of the coaching staff to overcome that. When I watch Caleb Williams, when I watch Jaden Daniels, I see rookie quarterbacks. I don't see Hall of Famers. But around them, Chad, I see players that can make plays. I see first downs being made. I see touchdowns being scored. I see the just positive momentum and not having to fight for every single inch. And that, to me, goes back to coaching.
Yeah. Daniel, thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Believe indeed. Let's believe until we absolutely have every reason not to. We're not there yet. Thank you for the super chat, Daniel. Todd here. I'm not among the Chicken Littles who think the sky is falling, and I like his response here to Jeremy. It's like complaining about the line at the DMV. You know it's coming, so why complain about it? You should plan for it. So, yes, to some extent, I think we all got to remember that in this case, right, like last thing here, Zach, then we'll get to our matters of business, but the allegory here for the plan for it relative to Bo Nix and the Broncos is expecting ups and downs, expecting an actual learning curve to take place before our very eyes. What the Broncos need now, though, is you've seen the two steps back. Let's say week one, Zach, one step back. Week two steps back. Where are the steps forward? Now, we could get real nitpicky, grab our magnifying glass and try and find some positives. And there are some. You can be like, well, you know, the RPOs, when Sean Payton dials them up, they've done well. After he gets the first half jitters out of the way, he's a little bit better, even though he made some terrible decisions in that second half, etc. He has looked better. I would say generally he's looked better in the second half so far than he has the first. Sean Payton's explanation is interior pressure is why. But nevertheless, Bo Nix is going to have his ups. He's going to have his downs. Let's plan for that. And let's hope that we start seeing a few more ups, Zach, than we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I picked the Broncos to win their first two games, but we talked about it on the podcast. I thought it to myself, there's a chance they could start 0-2. So, Todd, to your point, I was mentally prepared for that possibility. What I wasn't prepared for was criticizing Sean Payton's play calling after 2 weeks, or criticizing the lack of offensive line, or just how bad of football offensively I witnessed in person yesterday. So not surprising the record. What's surprising to me, my opinion, is how they got to that 0-2 record, Chad.
Yeah, well said. All right, guys, we got a few messages for you. Then we got to dip on out of here.
Cannot believe it's already been almost an hour. You guys are amazing. Another tremendous episode of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch like we're rocking each and every podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, 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 subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans. That's right, just like you.
Once again, guys, the meet and greet was awesome. I'm going to be dropping some videos and some pics and some stuff celebrating here. If not tonight, it'll be tomorrow. So look for that. The highlights, as it were. A Mile High salute. And again, we wouldn't have been able to do that. We wouldn't be here today either if it weren't for the great Super Chat superstars and supporters. And one of the coolest things that help us keep the lights on, literally, is like yesterday, Zach, there were multiple people who came up, wanted to hang out, shook my hand, got a signature and a poster or a picture, or I sent them with a t-shirt, or that were fans of the show, there to hang out, didn't even know their names, didn't know their handle, never heard it before. You know, people who we don't, they might not be Super Chat superstars. They might not be, like in this case, you know, David throwing down 10, Sam Bam throwing down 10, Troy throwing down 10, Chris 6, etc. Okay. They might not be doing that, and that's okay. They're just as invested. They're listening every day. They might not listen live, their job, their family life, whatever, but they listen every day on demand. And they show up. So whoever's within the sound of my voice, thank you. I love you. Appreciate you. And tonight, a special Mile High salute to the Papa Bear, Sam Bam, Troy, Chris here, Rip Die, The Ronk, Cody Dub, Victor's Gaming, Steve Griffith back in the hizzy. Let's see, RD up in Canada, Jetty Splash, The Diamond Rattler, Antoine Curry, let's see, Patriot Tex, Phil in Tucson, George Fox, let's see, Daniel Garcia. Much love and respect, guys. Zach and I were off podcast-wise till Thursday night, but plenty of content coming your way tomorrow night. You got Building the Broncos, followed by some more Broncos for Breakfast Wednesday morning, then Mile High Insiders, and then Zach and I will be back. So have a great week, everybody.
Yes, sir. Have a great week. We will see you Thursday night. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country, and those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.
Hola mi gente, Rosalind Sanchez here from He Said, Ella Dijo. And although I like drama in my telenovelas, when it comes to real life, I prefer a drama-free casa. Thanks to Fabuloso, its remarkable lavender scent lingers like a longing glance. And with 2 times more active ingredients to take the drama out of any mess, you'll be shouting, gracias. Fabuloso's 2x concentrator formula provides 2x more active cleaning ingredients versus non-concentrated Fabuloso original. Use as directed.